Well, so the movement, right, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education.
For those of you who don't know,
the really corporate model that we have right now.
Microphone. If you just
so the
leave
three
your
core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt,
otherwise,
and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that degrade its performance. So keep your microphone covered.
Great question. Because
everything I say is a question.
I'm not sure if you're talking about a national level or at particular schools.
What you mean.
Like, sort of touch
like,
on
I don't
both.
Understand. What do you mean? Pay for it. Don't things just come for free? It's free college, right? Like the vaccine. It's free.
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth.
That's the patriarchy.
I
should just get for free. It should be
a catastrophe that students are facing.
We have a
relationship right now where 1% of the
population to everybody, and everybody can have free college, and you get a free vaccine, and every semester you can get a vaccination because you're gonna. Now I hear. I have not yet confirmed this, but I hear from a reliable source. Now I hear you sheep are up to three vaccines a year for the Wuhan. Three! And it's not even a vaccine! Oh God, I'm so fucking sick of hearing people talking about, well, I got the vaccination. Did you get the vaccination? Which vaccination did you get? I got that. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccination. I got it on my left arm. On the next day, I felt really bad for like 3 days after that. I was really, and then I got the vaccination at the drive thru. Oh, I got the vaccination and the vaccination and I got the vaccine and I got the vaccination and the vaccination and the vaccination.
Let's say if you tax them, they're smart folks, these people. These 1% hoarders, right? So if they leave here,
if they leave,
pay for all this stuff that you want?
Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to pay for your free vaccine?
If they leave
the country.
If they flee,
the
way the Jews should have left Germany when the Nazis started coming from them. And the smart Jews did, but the stupid ones stayed behind. And that's called evolution. That's called natural selection. That's why I'm getting the fuck out of Fort Collins. Because the Nazis aren't coming for me yet, but they will be. Oh, they will be soon.
Yes, News.
Do you think the 1% could pay for all of this?
Oh, of course they can. They're the 1%. I mean, I'm not going to pay for anything. I have a vagina. Say about my dreams. Well, wait, this is not an X-rated. Never mind.
You think
not
your
talking
friends,
about my dreams.
Their parents.
But they involved a redhead wearing
a
Supergirl outfit.
A little bit more to provide these guarantees and benefits.
Oh, of course. I have a vagina. Other people would love to pay more money so that I can get free college.
My family is already on numerous forms of government assistance.
My family's on welfare. We're so working
class. In order to get me through college,
why are you going?
Why
your parents? The fact that your parents are sending you to college tells us your parents aren't very smart. So that's a giant waste
of your
fucking money.
And when your looks are
gone and you're alone, hit the wall. How many nights you sit beside the phone? Where are all the good men? What were the things you wanted for yourself? Fur baby. Teenage ambitions you'll remember well. I like to travel.
We're very rational, loving, accepting, non-xenophobic, and we're Syrians. Come on over. Actually, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Come on over, immigrants.
We're still accepting refugees.
Now this is one of them occasions where the homie's not doing it right. I'm being found in my holdity lot.
Yes, you found
a
hoe
you
like.
You can't make a hoe a housewife.
Oh,
and when it all
damn.
Pulled down, you gon' find in the end a bitch is a bitch, but a dog is a man's best friend. So what you found, you a holdity lot.
But you know what?
You can't make a hoe a housewife.
You can't make a hoe a housewife.
Smoke weed every day.
This is mine.
This Dick Masterson made a comment. I got caught up on the Dick Show. I got to talk about that later. I got a whole bunch of clips that I've pulled from the Dick Show that I want to play and talk about. But a while back, that whole hoe a housewife thing, Dick said something to the effect of, the whole point of that song is to tell people that there's a difference between a hoe and a housewife, and that's like a propaganda thing, because there really isn't. And he's right. You can make a hoe a housewife, to the extent that any woman can be a housewife, because all women are hoes. Like, all of them. They're all hoes. And I'm not saying they're evil. It's their nature. And now I know. There's some of you out there, and you're like, but great one. Books, but I know this one and woman, and she's not a hoe.
I'm sitting down in the front row.
Great one.
I text my friend.
She majored in STEM.
This girl's
did
like,
you, did
I'm
you
in the
know,
third
great
row,
one,
and
that
I turn
she
around,
majored
in STEM?
Yes,
in the third
I know.
Row. I'm like, I don't know why you can count, but you're not there. Like, I'm in the first row, you're in the third row. That's not happening.
6 million years of evolution. Yes, I get it.
And like, okay, I haven't been to class in like a month. But still, like,
no,
I don't
she's
recognize
a fucking
them,
hoe.
So I asked this
Shut
girl,
up.
I'm like, this is RTF, right? This is, like, world cinema history. She's like, no, this is physics.
Because she went to college for STEM, and she took classes
okay,
like world cinema history.
Exam?
I promise you.
I text
you.
My friend,
okay,
and she's
I
like,
major
you get
in engineering, but I don't really like
exam.
Math. So can I take some
so
journalism
like, oh
electives instead? Because
and
I really want to change the world. And I like to travel. And do you have any classes about marijuana? Because I'd really like to take some hemp classes and learn about hemp. And everything, because when I'm an engineer
hog.
Designing bridges, that'll be a lot easier than doing that. All right, bitches and bitchettes, friends and enemies, pimps and hoes. There's been a lot going on, and yes, there was no podcast on Monday because I was just busy doing shit. I was recovering from a long week. I actually had to work for a living, and it was work like what I had back before the Wuhan hoax. This shit getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning and all this stuff. It's like, holy fuck, man. Now I'm sitting there going, shit, do I? Because I've been looking for jobs in the production industry, which is what I did before. And now I'm starting to question, because I got spoiled. I'm not going to lie, man. I got spoiled. Now I'm starting to question, do I want to work in production again? Do I want to spend, you know, the next 10 years of my life or whatever, coming home at 2 or 3 in the morning and going for 24 hours without sleep? I don't know. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. So I hooked up with this company out of Denver. I helped build a stage outdoors, and it was for the Regis University graduation. Now, if you don't know what Regis University is, I'm not surprised. So Regis University, it's a university in Denver. As far as I know, it's not a chain or anything like that, or whatever you call it. It's the only one, Regis University. And it is a Jesuit university. Now, if you don't know, Jesuits are a sect of Christianity. So they're Christians. Now, I don't know, because I'm not an expert on this shit, I don't know what separates a Jesuit from a Baptist, from a Protestant, from a Catholic, right? This is beyond my knowledge. But they're Christians. And of course, as we have learned lately, and there's still a lot more ass whooping coming for your Christians, by Christian, we mean cuck. So Regis University has their little magazine here. Regis University's Volume 28, Issue 2, Fall, Winter, the Year of Our Lord and Savior, Trump and Fuhrer 2020. Okay. Here on the cover, we got a picture of a black guy. There's nothing wrong with having a picture of a black guy. It's an old picture, you can tell, because it's black and white. You can look at the quality. Right? This is not like a picture of a black guy taken in the year 2021. This is from back in the days, the 30s or the 40s or whatever. You can also tell because he's wearing like normal clothes. His pants are pulled up. He's not dressed like a fucking hoodlum. He doesn't have any sports logos on his clothing. He's not fat. And he's holding a baby. which may be his child. Right. So this is back from before black men were basically billboards for sporting teams and fat, overweight pieces of shit that impregnated women and then ran out on them. And the text on the cover of this magazine says, "A life twice as bright. Sergeant Walter Springs could not escape the lethal flames of racism." Now, the article in here about this guy is long. That's what she said. I didn't read it. I don't know what happened. I'm not saying he's a bad person. He very well may have been a quote-unquote victim of racism back in the 1930s. When the incident happened. Guys, the 1930s were almost 100 years ago at this point, and we're the cucks are still clinging to shit that happened 100 fucking years ago. That's how deep you've got to dig to find incidences of racism. Down underneath that, this is the cover text, right? The blurbs on the cover. Re-examining the landscape of history. Which we know what that means. That means racism. And then under that, spiritual exercises to address hate. All right, let's delve into this. Brewing Diversity with a $10,000 Kickstarter from Denver-based Station 26 Brewing Co. Regis's acclaimed craft brewing certificate hopes to be turning out brewers who are as varied and diverse as the flavors they concoct. For All Diversity in Craft Brewing Scholarship. There is a scholarship called the For You for All Diversity in Craft Brewing. Will provide financial support to students typically underrepresented in the craft brewing industry, including people of color, women, and members of the LGBTQKKK community. To add your donation to Station 26's contributions, visit crowdfunding.regis.edu. Oh, and by the way, there's an envelope in the magazine that you can send this university a donation. Like, yes, I would like to support Regis University. Enclosed is my gift of $50 or $100 or $150 or another. It's a university. Kids are taking out college loans to go there and get degrees in sociology and worshiping pox and hating white people. But you too can give money to these bunch of fucking cuck Christians so that they can indoctrinate children with hating white people. Here we go. Life support. A passion ignited in class propelled this senior to help abolish Colorado's death penalty. Some activists have to wait a lifetime to see the social change they've worked for. Constantine Koala-Tindu didn't even have to wait until he graduated from Regis. In case you guys can't figure this out, Constantine Koala-Tindu is black. The entire shtick of this podcast is that this entire thing is Regis University Christians kissing the asses of and fetishizing people of colors. Last March, while much of the world was preoccupied with the emerging pandemic hoax, Colorado took the monumental step of overturning the death penalty that had been in place since the 1970s. Koala-Tindo and a group of Regis students activists. This is what Christianity is doing with itself in the fucking current year. Activism. And the group of Regis student activists he helped assemble celebrated the change they had advocated for, if only briefly. As he entered his senior year, Koala-Tindo said he began considering his Regis legacy. I didn't know you had a legacy when you went to college. A legacy. Quote, I remember thinking, what do I want to be remembered for at the end of these 4 years? Unquote. Dude, you're one fucking college student out of thousands. You just paid a bunch of money so that some fucking worthless ass boomers who can't get real jobs could sit around and give you homework assignments. You're not going to be remembered for a fucking thing. He found the answer this past spring in adjunct professor James Burlington's sociology class about the death penalty in the United States. There is at a Christian university, there is a sociology class, that's the first funny thing, which is about the death penalty in the United States. How do you fill an entire class with the death penalty in the United States? And is this some shit God is against the death penalty? Is this the same fucking God that flooded the entire fucking earth? Is this the same God that destroyed, what was the city, Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever the fuck it was, and the chick turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt because God said, don't fucking look behind you, but because just like a goddamn woman, she can't fucking follow instructions, right? Do whatever the fuck you want, don't eat the fucking apple off this tree. That's it. There's one rule, one fucking rule. Do not eat an apple on this tree. What's a bitch gonna do, right? Run, I'm about to destroy the city, get the fuck out, don't look back. That's all you have to do. Don't look behind you. Run away from the city, look in front of you, do not turn your face behind you and point your eyeballs back at the fucking city. Bitch can't listen. They can't do it. They just can't fucking do it. Hey, sweetheart, whatever you do, don't stick that fork in that electrical socket over there. Zap! It's a good thing you conservatives think they should vote. I mean, and major in STEM. I can't, when a woman becomes a fucking industrial engineer, that, right, really makes me feel safe driving across that bridge. I wonder if this bridge was designed by a woman. Well, I'm sure it's fine. An entire class about the death penalty. Burlington, a Regis graduate who spent much of his adult life advocating to end the death penalty, said he offers students an option, write a research paper on the topic, or get involved with a community organization. Community! Pro or anti, and write a reflection paper on the experience. A reflection paper! Is this what you Christians are doing? Are you writing reflection papers? Is that what you're doing? Like many students, Koala-Tindo chose the latter, but with a twist. Instead of joining a cult community group, he and several classmates created their own. I'm going to be able to start reading correctly at any moment now. Hang on. Fortunately, I have a mug of hot tea here. Here we go. The result, the End Colorado's Death Penalty Alliance, which began in the early days of the spring 2020 semester, grew into a joint effort among Regis's departments of sociology anthropology, and criminal justice. This is a Christian university, guys. They have departments of sociology, anthropology, and criminal justice. Oh, boy. Along with the Regis College Center for Service Learning. No, I don't know what service learning is. I'm going to bet that there's no mathematics involved. The group had no budget, but plenty of passion. Oh, they had passion. Passion! They had passion. Quote, "We started here on campus by educating fellow students." Unquote. Koala-Tendo said, "Educating fellow students," which is a code phrase for presenting people with information that can't be verified because it's not true. The goal was to turn that education into signatures on a petition to end capital punishment in Colorado. Ultimately, this spring, the group presented their petition with Regis students' signatures to state lawmakers. In the signature gathering process, Koala-Tendo found that education went both ways. Quote, "Our campus features students from all walks of life, and letting them know about the history of the death penalty is important. I was challenged often by students asking, why should I sign this?" Unquote. Oh my God, people actually dared to ask him, why should I fucking sign this? Instead of just signing it because it was stuck in front of you. Just agree to everything. It's like the terms of service on the internet when you sign up for another fucking service that's going to fucking track everything you do and report all of your movements and information to the corporations and the government. Don't question why you're signing it. Just fucking sign it. The ensuing conversations helped him think more deeply. Right. Yes, he thought deeply. Oh, I'm sure he did. The ensuing conversations helped him think more deeply about the issue to provide clear answers and arguments for his cause. I wonder if those arguments are going to be presented anywhere in this propaganda piece. I'd love to hear. Pray tell, what are your arguments against the death penalty? Because I'm pretty fucking sure you didn't have any arguments about Obama blowing people up with missiles launched from flying robots while they were attending weddings, right? Every time I see some fucking leftist virtue signaling on the death penalty, it's like, you are fucking pathetic and sick. To help his students resolve such questions in their own minds and to better understand both sides of the debate, Burlington has them read Alligator Candy, a memoir about the savage murder of an 11-year-old boy written years after the crime by the child's brother. Koala-Tendo said he empathizes with family members of those who have been murdered and understands they may not share his view. Quote, "But killing another person is not going to bring your loved one back." Unquote. Well, guess what? Killing the cop that killed George Floyd to jail, is he going to bring George Floyd back? So why are you doing it? Wait, is he going to jail? I haven't kept up with this shit. He was found guilty, right? Isn't that what I heard? You guys know me. I don't fucking pay attention to this shit because I don't fucking care. Because the whole world can go fuck itself. He was found guilty, though, wasn't he? So is he going to jail? I mean, what's going on? Is any of that going to bring George Floyd's ass back to life? Is he suddenly going to be laying in his coffin so he goes, oh, I can breathe again, and come crashing up out of there? I mean, what's up? Koala-Tendo came to the United States in 2011 after spending most of his childhood in his native Uganda. Oh, so it's another foreigner coming to our country and then expecting our country to... I don't go to Uganda and try to fucking change things over there. He's an invader. And this is what invaders do. They come to our country because it's filled with white people. And because it's filled with white people, it's also filled with electricity, roads, indoor plumbing. And now he wants to change everything so he can feel good about himself. Now, he didn't stay in Uganda and change his country so that the people over there could benefit. No, because like everybody else who claims they give a flying fuck about pox, he doesn't give a fuck about pox even though he's a pock. All right, this is why I'm leaving Fort Collins, because I don't give a fuck about Fort Collins. I don't give a fuck about anybody in Fort Collins. I hope as I leave Fort Collins, I hope God fucking destroys it. And you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to turn around and look back, because I'm not a fucking woman. I can follow instructions. God says, don't fucking look behind you. You don't fucking look behind you. Why is this so goddamn hard? Spent most of his childhood in his native Uganda, where political and ethnic upheaval. How can there be ethnic upheaval? There's no fucking white people over there. How can there be ethnic upheaval in Uganda? It's filled with pox. Only white people are racist. These are lies. This is a fucking lie. There's no ethnic upheaval in Uganda. There's no white people over there. His native Uganda, where political and ethnic upheaval marked much of the 20th century and where until recently the death penalty was required for certain crimes. Well, bravo, Uganda. Doing it right. Should require the death penalty for getting married, because that's the dumbest thing you can do. All right, he said that what he learned at Regis about the death penalty in the United States made fighting to abolish it a perfect fit with the university's Jesuit values. Now, I don't know what Jesuit values are. I don't know if that's like Judeo-Christian values, which according to people like Adam Piggott, who know more about theology than I do, or something that don't exist. I mean, I can't really stick a fork in that because I don't understand, you know, when somebody says Judeo-Christian values, what exactly do you mean? And then what exactly are, I can't put a fork in that one. I'm just saying though, what are your Jesuit values? Quote, I believe in the sanctity of life. Unless, of course, it's people in foreign countries being bombed by the United States government. That I'm totally okay with because Joe Biden hates white people as much as I do, and he's going to give away free college and free healthcare and force everybody to get a vaccination, and therefore I'm going to suck Joe Biden's dick regardless of how many people he bombs in other countries. But other than that, I believe in the sanctity of life. Not just for newborns, but even for the worst of the worst. Really? Here's a question for you, hyphenated last name. When you say you believe in the sanctity of life, even for the worst of the worst, does that include Klan members? Does that include white supremacists? Does that include Nazis? I bet it doesn't. The quote continues, they still deserve at least a chance. We cannot play God. Now, we can inject hundreds of thousands of people with an experimental vaccine that isn't actually a vaccine. We can do that. We can shut down the economy and plunge people into unemployment and poverty and depression, which results in their suicide. See, we can do all of that. That's fine. There are no problems there. But we can't play God and, for example, kill someone who murdered 17 people. The issue is also one of racial justice. Koala-Tendu said, and pointed out that all three men who recently had been on death row in Colorado were black. Black is capitalized, of course, because Christians are cucks. And all convicted in the same judicial district, the 18th, which includes Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. So you see, because they're black, it's obviously racism. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with what they actually did, which, of course, we don't get that information. On March 10th, his little community group, ECDPA, hosted community leaders. Hosted community leaders and legal and religious experts. They're experts. Hey guys, we have to trust the experts. They're experts. In a public forum on the issue, an event that would be, I don't know where I got the word provide from, an event that would be the last public event held before the Wuhan forced the campus to shut down. Less than 2 weeks later, on March 23rd, homosexual Jew governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, signed the law that made Colorado the 22nd state to abolish the death penalty. With Wuhan beginning its rampage across the country. Rampage. Wuhan rampaged across the country, guys. Rampage. The event went unnoticed by many. Koala-Tindu, who plans to pursue a master's in public policy, noticed. So he came here from Uganda. Where he came here from his shithole country to get a fucking college education in public policy and then attempt to change the laws in our country to make himself happy, to make himself feel good, so that he could virtue signal. Instead of staying in his country, where there's a bunch of poor, oppressed by ethnic strife POC people, and helping them, he came here because we have indoor plumbing and electricity. He's proud that he was able to join for a semester the effort Burlington and many others dedicated decades to. But he said there is still much work to do. As he put in a recent email, the work is just starting as there are 28 more states left to go. And this is what he's going to do with his sad little pathetic excuse for a life. He's going to run around campaigning against the death penalty. Without ever saying a fucking word about any Democrat president who drops bombs on foreign countries and kills shit tons of dark people. Strong words. Strong. The word strong is in the title. Would anybody like to take a guess whether the subject of this article is male or female? Well, we know it's a woman because women are strong. Strong and independent. Single mothers are the strongest and most independent women of them all. There is not a single being more strong and more independent than a single mother. Strong words. I'll give her this. At least she's not fat. She is. Do I need to mention that she's a pox? Once again, guys, the theme of this entire fucking episode. But at least she's not fat. I give her that. In Regis Professor's searing poetry. Searing poetry. Searing poetry. In Regis Professor's searing poetry, social issues become personal. Because what else do black people have in their lives other than social issues and oppression and racism? I mean, are there any black people that have hobbies or interests or friends or anything? Or do all of you, I'm sorry, pox, I called you black people. That's so fucking last week. Do any of you pox, like, do anything other than just sit around and think about racism and social issues and injustice for every fucking moment of your life? You know, if you guys really need something to distract you, there's this thing called Star Wars The Old Republic, which I played this morning. It will distract you from this stuff. You come join me. Come on in. Let's go. We'll go form up a group. We'll go kick some fucking ass together. We'll beat up some fucking white people. It'll be great. You'll feel better. All right. With her sixth book, Anodyne, released in August to wide acclaim. There was wide acclaim. I'm sure you guys have all heard of, what's her, hang on a minute. I had to get a big drink of water before I take this on. You guys have heard of this woman, right? Her name is Khadijah Queen. Her sixth book, Anodyne, released in August to wide acclaim. Wide acclaim. Was this acclaim by chance as wide as the average woman's ass? Because that's pretty wide. But I've never heard wide acclaim. The summer of 2020 should have been a time of savoring success. Well, it should have been, but idiots like you bought into the Wuhan hoax and shut everything down. Go fuck yourself. And flying around the country, because she likes to travel. Flying around the country, meeting fans and signing books for poet Khadijah Queen. Instead, the hot months were, for her, like many others, a time of reckoning. Oh, wait, hold on. I don't have to do that. Reckoning. Did it? Oh. Damn, wait, I don't think I'm feeding the effects to the fucking computer. Damn it, I had the echo turned on. Never mind, doesn't matter. I'll fuck with that. We're not here to do fucking cutesy effects. I hate that shit. As the country around her burned. As the country around her burned, both literally Hitler and with the heat of racial injustice. And the Wuhan pandemic continued its rampage. The acclaimed poet and Regius Assistant Professor of Creative Writing put poetry aside. Assistant Professor of Creative Writing. This is what Christian universities are teaching children. Quote, I feel, of course you do, you're a woman, I feel like I need, of course you do, women always feel like they need, and after need comes deserve, and after deserve comes free. It should be free, right? Like healthcare and college and vaccinations shall be free. It should be free. It should fall from the fucking sky. It's free because you're a freetard. Quote, I feel like I need beauty to write poetry, and I haven't been able to do the things I normally do to access beauty. Oh, so she wasn't around white people. Oh, good one. That's racist. Great one. Yes, it is. Go fuck yourself. Those things include experiencing nature, because you couldn't go outside during the fucking pandemic, right? Visiting the Denver Botanical Gardens, and even traveling, she said. Travel. I like to travel. like to travel with my fur babies. Fur babies. Travel. I write poetry about traveling with my fur babies. And how we all got free vaccinations. Quote, poetry is a place to stop and feel the meaning of what we say. It's a way to find a language for what we feel. Grief is the feeling that settled over me. So Queen, who has been a finalist for the National Poetry Series, because you guys all keep up with the National Poetry Series, right? I mean, I do. My God, it's like if you took the Super Bowl and Wimbledon and NASCAR, right? And you rolled all that into one. That's the National Poetry Series. The amount of excitement and anticipation I feel about the National Poetry Series, it's beyond words. You know, maybe I should take a creative writing class from Kalijah Queen so I could learn to properly express just how much the National Poetry Series means to me. So Queen, who has been a finalist for the National Poetry Series and the Balkans Poetry Prize, turned to what she calls practical prose. It seemed to me there is an absence of that now. Nobody's doing anything about all these problems. What do you mean? What problems? What do you mean nobody's doing anything? We're forcing people to fucking stay home and lose their jobs and go broke. We're injecting people with an experimental vaccine. We're screaming racism and white supremacist every time we see a fucking white person who's still alive. What do you mean nobody's doing anything? What the fuck is this goddamn fucking whore talking about? To one anonymous reviewer, the verses in Anodyne are a way of exploring at least one of those problems. Now, I haven't read this. The previous thing I read, I did pre-read that. This I did not pre-read. Let's take a, I wonder what the problem she explores is. You want to take a wild guess? It's going to be racial injustice. Because once again, pox have nothing else in their lives. Nothing. Their lives are completely fucking empty if you remove racism, if you remove victimhood, if you remove oppression. And that's why they all, not all of them, yes, I know, there are some unicorn black people who do not revolve their life around being oppressed, right? So the 99% who are not black people, but pox, okay? There's pox and then there's people who happen to be black. The 99%, the pox, their entire existence revolves around this shit. They wake up in the morning and as their feet are hitting the ground, they are hoping and praying that they will be called a nigger that day, or that someone will try to lynch them and hang them from a noose, or that they'll have an encounter with a white supremacist, or that a cop will try to arrest them for being black, because that's their whole fucking life. I have nothing. I wake up in the morning, I just want to fucking play Star Wars and be left alone. But see, I can't do that because I got pox coming after me because I'm white. Because they're so desperate to be oppressed that when they can't find oppression, they create white supremacy and project it onto every fucking white person on the planet Earth. Quote, for Queen, the possibility of social justice. There it, wow, how'd I call that one? How did I know this was going to be about social justice? How could I have possibly predicted this? My God, I must be a prophet. No one could have possibly predicted that a black woman would write poetry about social injustice. Who knew? Who could see that coming? I'm like practically the second coming of Jesus at this point. For Queen, the possibility of social justice begins in language, which she frames as the very foundation of the social order, unquote, a reviewer wrote on the website Poets and Writers. Yes, social justice begins in language. You use language to label all white people as racist. And then from there, you just create more and more bullshit. An example. Oh, great. Here's an example of her poetry. Oh, this is going to be very powerful. Quote, her mother had vision and the power in a black woman's name saves us all. That's it. Her mother had vision and the power in a black woman's name. Black is, of course, capitalized. Black woman's name saves us all. The father could not be reached for comment, of course. Queen agrees with that assessment to a point. Quote, certainly a part of social justice is how we speak to and about and for one another. Being accurate and precise in the words we choose is vitally important. Yes, and I agree with that. She's right about that. Being accurate and precise in the words we choose. That's why I call these people cuck Christians. So I call her a pox. So I call her inferior. So I call her a whore. So I call her a dumb bitch. So I call any white person that supports her a cuck and a race traitor. All of those words, I am being very accurate and very precise. Queen's latest work, like her previous volumes. Oh my God. Hold, give me a second. I just read ahead. Oh, fuck. Queen's latest work, like her previous volumes, addresses issues of, take a wild guess, take a wild fucking guess, what issues a pox woman is going to address. Addresses issues of femininity and race. Because yes, when you're a pox woman, what else do you have in your life other than obsessing over the fact that you're oppressed because you're a pox and you're oppressed because you're a woman? That's the sum total core of everything that you are and everything you will ever be. You will never be more than that. I don't give a fuck that you majored in STEM. I don't give a shit that there's this one man who thinks you're a unicorn. I don't give a shit that you like to travel. I don't give a shit that you have 17 fur babies, okay? You, as a black woman, are oppressed and oppressed, and your entire existence revolves around your oppression. If your oppression is removed from you, you will literally, Hitler, cease to exist. Addresses issues of femininity and race, intertwines. Let me start that over. Queen's latest work, like her previous volumes, addresses issues of femininity and race, intertwines violence and beauty, provokes, and, as the title implies, soothes. Anodyne juxtaposes, as a Goodreads reviewer puts it, quote, the small moments that enrapture us alongside the daily threats of cataclysm. Daily threats of cataclysm. Yes, if you live in a third world country, there's a daily threat of cataclysm because Joseph Biden might send the military over to drop a fucking bomb on you. But apparently we're all okay with that. The Roots. Oh, no, wait. Queen does this. Take two. Queen does this in words as lyric as they are bravely personal. Okay, she was using lyric as an adjective there, not a noun. Sentence threw me off for a second. The roots of her roots, Kunta Kinte, roots. Wait, that's racist. The roots of her words and how she chooses them can be traced to an unlikely source, the Navy. Otherwise known as Republican welfare. Queen was working two jobs, including one as a Radio Shack assistant manager, and wondering how to finance her college education. Wait, shouldn't she get free college? I mean, she's a woman, she's black, she's oppressed, she's strong and independent. She's strong and independent at the same time that she's oppressed. Shouldn't she be getting free college? When a recruiter walked into her store, quote, he was like, you're really great. Have you ever thought of joining the military? Unquote. Yes, recruiters walk into Radio Shack and tell people working there, you're really great. Have you ever thought of joining the military? This is because recruiters have quotas. No, they don't, great one. Yes, they do. She bought this. Like, this guy she's never seen before in her life comes walking. I'm a military recruiter. Hey, you're really great. You ever thought about joining the military? She hadn't, but that changed when he mentioned that her service would be repaid with $40,000 towards a degree, otherwise known as Republican welfare, right? You join the military so that you could go to college so that you can major in stupid shit. Republican welfare. She didn't join the military to defend the United States from aggressors, foreign and domestic. She joined the military so she could go to college to figure out how to write shitty poetry. Guys, I can write shitty poetry. I didn't need to go to college for it. Of course, then again, I'm white and I'm a man, so I'm superior to her twice over. That's racist and sexist. Yes, it is. It's also true. Her plan, she had a plan. Her plan was to major in STEM. No, no, it wasn't. Her plan was to major in English. I'm going to major in English, a language I already, well, wait, she's black. She probably actually can't speak correct English. Oh, that's racist also. God damn it. Woo. We on a roll today. Well, I's be's workin's at Radio Shack is, I can speak about ebonics. Oh God, that's racist. Fuck you all. Her plan was to major in English because that would be a really easy diploma to get and become a teacher. A teacher! My God, this just gets better and better and better. And again, you know, it's every stereotype. It's every stereotype that we make fun of. Every fucking woman, she's going to go to college. She's going to join the military so she can get free college, so she can major in English and be a fucking teacher. We've already had travel in here. All we need at this point is fur babies and a Harry Potter reference. Her plan was to major in English and become a teacher, but along the way, she discovered poetry. Now, the poetry was already there, sweetheart. Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. It was already here. Well, you didn't discover poetry, bitch. It was already there. Quote, I had written poetry secretly. Sweetheart, we've all written poetry secretly. I had written poetry secretly, but hadn't studied it in any serious way. That's because you don't study poetry. You read it, you don't study it. But then I took a poetry class, and it unlocked a whole vocabulary, unquote. Yes, about oppression and feminism and racial strife and social injustice and all this other shit. What she calls her poetry persona varies depending on her theme. Her writing persona is not always me as my current self. Oh, so she's schizophrenic. Fantastic. In one of her previous selves, that's what it says, in one of her previous selves, which appears in her fifth book, I'm So Fine, A List of Famous Men and What I Had On. I'm So Fine, A List of Famous Men and What I Had On. How much do you want to bet this is a book about how famous men want to have sex with her because she's dressed like a skank, but just because she's dressed like a skank doesn't mean she's a skank because it's her body, her choice. How much do you want to bet that's what that book is about? In her fifth book, blah, blah, Queen explores feminism and sexism as a parade of celebrities make cameos or take on major roles. Many of those encounters were the natural consequence of growing up in Los Angeles. Growing up, she hasn't grown, she's a woman. Women don't grow up. They never mature past 16. Consequences of growing up in the Los Angeles area. Well, it's a shithole. Why are you in Los Angeles? Well, because you're a kid. You don't have a choice. Why are your parents in Los Angeles? Because your parents are stupid. Get the fuck out of Los Angeles. She said, quote, I used to ditch school and go to the Beverly Center, unquote, the quintessential L.A. retail destination on the border between West Hollywood and Beverly Hills. Quote, we just see famous people at the mall. They were all over, unquote. How famous people. Who gives, how empty is your life that you give a shit about famous people? Now, I mean, at least you're talking about me. Now, if you're like, oh, great one, you're famous, I care about, well, okay, that's different. I'm the great one, I'm the great one himself. The founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 16 years, who is right, who is always right, who has always been right, who has never been wrong. You can send me email to God, that's fur baby spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs, and you can buy the merch. They haven't been taken down yet, I'm shocked. You can send me cuck bucks, right? Yeah, it hasn't gone out yet. You know who you are. You ordered the archive from me like last week. You'll get this on Wednesday. I should be mailing the archive to you on Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. That's on the way to there. And then I've got the movie. Somebody paid me to watch a movie and talk about that blow up. So that movie's on the way from Netflix. So I'm going to get that done soon. And then I also, the Day of the Rope, the guy who paid me to read this book, I am reading the book. I will talk about that book. So everyone who's given me cuck bucks and made a request. And then I've also got some cuck bucks from people who just sent some cuck bucks. So thank you. Thank you very much. If you sent cuck bucks and made a request, it is in motion. You're welcome. You really are welcome. That's not me being a fucking obnoxious cocksucker. Unlike the rest of this entire podcast, that was me being sincere. You are welcome. And thank you. Thank you very much. As she got older, which is what all women do, and as she got closer to the wall, quote, I worked as an extra in movies and started to get invited to parties, unquote. Yes, That's because people wanted to stick their dick inside you because you hadn't hit the wall yet. Now, I got invited to parties and we just like skipped past. I thought we were going to hear about how all these celebrities tried to sexually molest her and stuff. We're just going to skip past all of that. Now, caregiver to her elderly mother, Queen, like many of us, finds herself at home more and maybe a bit isolated in this pandemic year. Right, she's isolated because of the Wuhan hoax. She's not isolated because she's a pox feminist who hates white people and capitalizes the word black. That's not why she's alone and isolated. No, of course not. It's because of the Wuhan hoax. She finds hope. She's finding hope, guys. She finds hope. Which is not a process, even when a pox woman does, it's still not a process. She finds hope, though, in her future generation. Wait, she finds hope, though, in future generations. Her son, who is 20, her 5-year-old niece, and her students, both at Regis and the University of Colorado, where she is also an assistant professor. So her son... okay, yeah, I'm looking at the picture of her. No wedding ring. I mean, are we surprised? Are we even remotely surprised that this Christian woman is a single mother? Are we even remotely surprised? Of course not. As an instructor and mentor, why is a woman a mentor? Women shouldn't be mentors. We'll start there. As an instructor and a mentor in Regis Mile High MFA program, Queen's approach is to make sure learning a process, one that includes plenty of questioning and diverse opinions, but few absolute right or wrong answers. These are Christians. See, there are few absolute right or wrong answers. These are crazy. Oh man. And then, oh God, I got something that's, we might do it. And no, I don't know. We'll see. I found this book. Oh my God. Christians, women. It's a woman writing a book for Christian women. She's a Christian. Oh boy. It is hilarious. Oh my God. It is hilarious. And here's the thing. I've only read one page, and I about fucking died of laughter. The stupidity of the female is universal. All right, here we go. Whether or how soon she returns to the form of writing that has brought her widespread acclaim... Widespread acclaim remains to be seen, but whoever writes it, poetry will endure, Queen said. Quote, I don't think you can kill poetry. It's the oldest form of telling our stories. People turn to it because it's a condensed description of feelings, and we don't have the time or energy to articulate. That's never going to stop being important. Poetry is more alive now than ever. And then we flip the page. Here's a picture of a bunch of white college students. I'm looking at this picture. It's almost exclusively women. And one of them's taking a selfie. Shocking. All right. How much time do I have left? Probably not enough. College counselor Vivian Vivian Delatorre. We're going to call her Tor. Smooths the path for other first-gen students. Vivian De La Torre's freshman year at Regis was challenging. Well, Vivian is a woman. Everything is challenging for her. I mean, except for eating, which she's obviously very good at eating. We can tell from this photograph. She does not have a problem putting calories into her body. Between questioning her major and juggling school with a job as a certified nursing assistant, De La Torre, who goes by Vivi, also experienced culture shock as a Latina! Latina! On a majority white campus. Because everything's about skin color. Skin color. Right? There's no such thing as race. Really? Then why is everything about race? If there's no such thing as race, if different races are a myth, if there's no such thing as different races, why is it that for libtards, everything in their entire existence begins and ends with race? Why is racism the alpha and the omega? If there's no such thing as race. Experienced culture shock as a Latina on a majority white campus. Hey, why don't you go back to your own fucking country? You come to a country filled with white people. You go, oh my God, there's white people here. If I go to fucking Uganda, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, look, it's Uganda. There's black people here. Who knew? Why there's so many black people? I didn't know there'd be any black people here. Oh wait, I'm white. I actually have understanding of other cultures and other kind of shit. Latinas! And Pox can't figure this shit out because they're all dumb. Culture shock as a Latina on a majority white campus and a first generation college student navigating the university on her own. Quote, acclimating to college was a big struggle. I had several conversations with my parents about wanting to transfer out, unquote. It was a struggle. It was a struggle to go to college classes. It was a struggle to go to a college campus that has indoor plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electricity, roads, sidewalks, security guards. It was a struggle. Struggle. Meanwhile, in other countries, there are people who are being bombed by the military of the United States, a bunch of fighter pilots who joined the military to get free college because it's the Republican welfare, under the orders of Joe Biden. See, those people, they're not struggling. They're fine. But this little chubby bitch, she had to struggle to go to college. But she was willing to give Regis another shot, and two key shifts her sophomore year helped. First, see, she switched her major. I wonder if she changed her major to, I don't know, what's that thing that you Republicans out there sit around masturbating to? STEM. I wonder if she switched her major to STEM. I wonder if she's a unicorn. Let's find out. I don't know. I haven't read this one ahead either. I don't know. Let's find out. Is she a unicorn, guys? Second, toward the end of her freshman year, first she switched her major. Second, okay, are you going to tell us what she switched her major from and to? Who wrote this shit? Oh, a woman. This was written by Meredith Sell. Okay, once again, this is why, you know, Adam Pigott was absolutely right when he said he doesn't read books by women. At the time, I argued with him. It's on the podcast. I can't deny it. I said, no, there's some good women authors. And he laughed at me. You know, now he was right. I was wrong. He was right. Speaking of that, if you listened to the last episode of The Greasy Pole, you heard us talking about the book Boomers by Helen Andrews. I have the book. I got the book. I read the book. The introduction was actually pretty good. After that, it went to shit. I'm going to do a whole podcast on this. But because she couldn't do it. Like the introduction started off good, and then it just got boring and uninteresting and repetitive and stupid. And it's like, okay, there we go. This is why you don't read books written by women. End of discussion. No, there are no unicorns. Well, great one. What about Ayn Rand? All right. God damn it. You might have me there. You know, if you like really long-winded fucking political rants. All right. So I don't know if we're going to find out what her fucking major is or not. Let's keep going. Second, toward the end of her freshman year, De La Tour landed a job with Regis's office. Oh, God. You already know where this is going. Landed a job with Regis's office of, say it with me, guys, diversity, equity, and inclusive excellence. Okay, you can't have excellence and inclusivity. You can't have excellence and equity. You can't have excellence and diversity. Working as a student lead for Stephanie Kulaga Montoya, the office's assistant director. There, she helped Montoya establish programs to help first-generation students avoid some of the struggles she experienced her freshman year, such as, for example, the struggle of, for the first time in your life, encountering a flush toilet. I mean, the struggles. This year, De La Tour's senior year, the programs are especially important at Regis because first-generation students made up about one-third of incoming freshman class. We don't really have parents who have... We don't have parents. Really, where did you come from? We don't really have parents. We don't really have parents. How do you not really have parents? Like, we don't really have parents who helped us fill out FAFSA. I don't even know what that is, and I don't care. Or parents who knew what steps I needed to do to apply. Yes, but okay, but you're a fucking, she's a millennial. She's on the end of, you're a millennial. Why do you need your parents to figure out how you're supposed to apply for college? Can't you do? Don't you have Google? Aren't you the smartest generation ever? You can't figure out how to apply for college. Okay, guys, listen. If you can't figure out how to apply for college, it's probably an indicator you shouldn't be going to college. This is difficult, isn't it? And considering how easy colleges make it to get there, because colleges need your money, they don't give a shit how smart you are. You can't figure out how to apply to college. Call the college, say, I have money. I want to go to college. I promise you, they'll get you in. Everything that I had to do to get my seat in that classroom, I had to figure out on my own. Oh my God, a fucking woman had to figure things. Actually, she didn't. She had to figure out on my own or with the help of college counselors or professors. She needed help from a counselor to register for a college class. Boy, women should major in STEM. They should also join the military so they can get free college. Through programming put on by the Diversity Office, as well as One Leads, a student-led club that De La Tour helped start last spring. Is this all students do there is start clubs? She and others aim to provide first-generation students with resources to navigate college, that's called a map, and the space to share experiences, that's called your house. Build relationships with other first-generation students because God forbid that darkies make friends on their own without external help from someone else. And connect with a campus counselor because everybody needs a counselor because nobody can do anything on their own because they're the smartest generation ever and they're millennials, but they're completely fucking helpless. all things that would have improved her own freshman year experience. Part of her freshman year struggle stemmed from her initial choice of a major. Oh, here, now we're going to find out. De La Torre had chosen pre-nursing with the goal of eventually working. Oh, my God. Working as a prison nurse. Because who do women want to be impregnated by? Alphas. And where do you find alphas? In prison. So I was watching Mari just the other day, and and there's a story on about a woman who was in, she was a prison guard, and she was impregnated by one of the prisoners. And that's an epic mating strategy, because her boyfriend is now paying for another man's child, and and she got an alpha man's child and a beta man to pay for it, and that's epic mating strategy. All right, we will continue this in the next episode. She, her dream, her passion is to be a fucking nurse in a prison. I mean, God damn it. All we need now is Harry Potter, travel, and fur babies, and the picture will be complete. This is my point, guys. Women, they're all completely fucking interchangeable. They are completely fucking interchangeable. The only difference is what they look like. As far as their personality, I use the term personality very loosely when I talk about women, who are in fact simply life support systems for an incubator. As far as their personality goes, they are completely 100% fucking interchangeable.